7, I begin reading at verse number 24, and I shall read down through verse number 27. As we stand together, please, in honor of the reading of God's Word. After we pray, Heavenly Father, we truly thank Thee today. The Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 7, verse number 24. Jesus says here, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Thank you, and you may be seated. The city of Tokyo, Japan is built on a fault line. In fact, it is right in the heart of what is known as the Pacific Fault Line. Many have been the earthquakes that have taken place in that part of the world. The most devastating that ever came to Japan, to Tokyo, was on December the 30th in the year 1703, when 200,000 people were killed in a single earthquake. Of course, in modern times, 200 years later, buildings are built differently, and they are built to withstand the shaking and the tremors of the earth. I understand that even in modern times, high-rise buildings in the city of Tokyo will sway several feet without ever crumbling. And the reason why they can withstand the tremor of the earth when it shakes so violently is because it has the proper foundation. That ought to say something to you and to me as we build our families, as we build our lives. You see, the proper foundation makes the difference when the storm comes. Now, these two men, Jesus said one was wise and the other was foolish. They were both builders. They had a lot in common. They were both builders. They both built houses. And they both suffered storms. But the outcome of their lives and the outcome of their building was far different, one from the other. Now, in the land of Palestine, the Holy Land, the Bible Land, we call it today Israel, there's a very deceiving terrain. A man can go looking for a place to build a house, and there's a layer of sand that just looks so inviting and looks like, what a marvelous place to build my house. And he does it. But in the wintertime, when the torrents of rain come and the floods rise, that man's house is in trouble. On the other hand, a man who is wise finds a bedrock somewhere that he can dig down through the sand and build the foundation of his house upon a rock. The foundation makes all the difference in the world. Now, Jesus was authority on every subject you could mention. But specifically, I see him in this text as an authority on two things. Number one, he was an authority on the Scriptures. And number two, he was an authority on life. As to the Scriptures, did you know that the very text where he talks about a wise man upon a rock and a foolish man upon the sand is taken from Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 25? Listen to what the wise Solomon said, and Jesus got his idea, I'm sure, from this. Now, please understand the terminology. We know that Jesus doesn't have to get an idea from anybody because he is the idea. He's the God-man and the man-God. But out of the Scriptures, remember, he quoted often from the Scriptures, and no doubt from Proverbs 10:25, which reads, "As the whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked no more, but the righteous is an everlasting foundation." Jesus was an authority on the Scripture. Jesus was an authority on life. In fact, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. Now watch very carefully at two things that Jesus demands in this text. Verse 24 says, whosoever, number one, heareth. And then look down the way a little bit and doeth. Watch it now. Heareth and doeth. Jesus demands that we listen to what he says. Jesus demands that we do what he tells us to do. Now watch this carefully. The foolish man did only one of these things. He heard Jesus, but he did not heed Jesus and do what Jesus said. Remember, Jesus said, he that heareth my words, he that doeth what I say, he that doeth them is like a wise man building his house upon a solid foundation of rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a fool who builds his house upon sand, and when the storms come, the house falls. It is not enough, ladies and gentlemen, just to listen to what Jesus says. It is not enough just to hear the Word of God. We must act upon what we hear, act upon what we know, for knowledge is useless until it is acted upon, and knowledge acted upon becomes obedience. Knowledge not acted upon becomes disobedience. I think we all understand that a man could pass an examination with flying colors on Christian ethics and still not be a Christian. It is little point in going to the doctor unless you do what the doctor says do. There is little value in coming to church. Now, don't misunderstand, but please hear this statement. It is of little value for you to come to church and listen to what Jesus tells you and then don't do it. Many people go to church Sunday after Sunday, week after week, month after month, year after year. They hear the Bible, they hear the preacher, they hear what Jesus has to say, but they never heed it, they never do it, they never obey it, and consequently, they never, never change. Many people come into this sanctuary Sunday after Sunday and go out just like they came in and come back next Sunday just like they left. No change because they've heard, but they fail to do what Jesus said do. And here's James's commentary on that in chapter 1 at verse 22. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. But he didn't stop there. He said, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or in a looking mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now here's what James says. A man who just listens to the word of God and never acts upon it, never allows the Word of God to grip his soul, to motivate him to be a better person, to live a different lifestyle. He just hears it. It kind of goes in one ear and out the other. It's just like a man who gets up of a morning and looks in the mirror. And one hair's going this way, and one hair's going that way. He doesn't have but two, so one goes one way and one goes the other way. And his eyes are full of sleep and wrinkles all over his face. He's got bad breath. And all the rest. And he just looks at the mirror and turns and goes away and forgets what he looked like. But a man who looks into this perfect law of liberty doesn't forget soon because he obeys what the mirror tells him to do. The mirror tells him to shave. The mirror tells him to comb his hair. The mirror tells him to wash the sleep out of his eyes. So the mirror of God's word tells us what to do. And if we don't do it, we're just like a foolish man who goes away, forgets what he looks like. You see, knowledge must be translated into action. Theory must become practice. Theology must become life. The foundation of your life makes all the difference in what your life will be and what it will become. the solid rock, ladies and gentlemen, is Jesus Christ. And don't forget, the storms are coming. And listen, the world can shake beneath you, but when you are safe on the rock of Jesus Christ, you're safe. Build upon the rock and never feel the shock. Isn't that good? That's verse number 41, I think. Build upon the rock and never feel the shock. Now I want to tell you the difference between the two words. They're the same in English in verse 24. We'll look at it again. Verse 25, and the rain descended. Now this is upon the wise man. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house. Now in English, beat is beat. That's beat. Brother, I'm beating him, I'm beating him. I'm just beating. That's English, but not so the Greek. The word in verse 25 in the Greek says it is a violent whipping. Are you ready for that? A violent beating, a violent going against. And all of the violence of the wind and the rain and the flood never moved that house. That's the way Jones would be if I violently whipped him. Now, Phil, he's a little softer and he might not. But the violence of the wind, the violence of the flood, the violence of the rain beat violently, vehemently upon that house. And the Bible says it stood. Why? Because it is built upon a rock. And I want to tell you, the storms of life, and they're coming if they haven't already come. The persecutions, the problems, the disillusionments, the disappointments, the trials, the heartaches, the reverses, the criticisms, all of those things are coming to your life and mine. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, when we are built upon the rock, we can stand firm. Build on the rock and never suffer the shock. Now the word beat in the next verses, look at it. In verse number 27, it's a different word. It looks just like our English that we read in verse 25, but it's a different word. That word beat in verse 27 means just a little tap. But even a little tap. Now don't miss this or you miss the whole message. Even a little tap of a storm will destroy your life if you're built on the sand. Just a little swipe will destroy your life. Building on the sands of philosophy and education and reasoning and all the good things that you think are something of foundation. Listen, folks, there's no foundation but Jesus Christ. Brother Bill sang in the auditorium class, Brother Bill Plumley, clinging to the cross. And I said to my wife as we walked down the aisle, that's a good place to cling. And she kind of nudged me and said, that's the only place to cling. I'm going to ordain her next week. Preach the greater sermon than I did. It's the only place. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. All of the ground. It may be education, philosophy, wealth, power, prestige, prominence, culture, whatever it is, it's sinking sand, and the slightest little will blow it off its foundation. You better get ready, because God is saying something to you this morning about building your life, your family, and your home. On Family Day, I want to speak to you from the subject, building better homes to produce better families. Now get the, if you don't get anything but the title, that'll help you. But I want you to get something else. Building better homes that will produce better families. I have five keys that I will briefly share with you on how to build a better home so you can build a better family. Key number one, be sure that every member of your family is saved. God said to Noah in Genesis 7:1, come thou and all thy house. That word house means family. Maybe it's just you and your wife. Both of you need to be saved. You and your wife and three children, all five of you need to be saved. You and your wife and your four children and your 12 grandchildren or whatever, they all need to be saved. That's key number one. Be sure. Make certain that all of your family is in the ark of safety. Come thou and all thy house. Come thou and all thy family into the ark. There's a danger out there. There's a storm out there. Destruction is there. Judgment is there. But inside, be sure that every member of your family is saved. There's a tragic story in Luke chapter 16. A man is in hell. I know some of them, Pastor, that's old fashioned. This business of hell. You know those people that talk about there's no fire in hell and that's old fashioned and outdated. They're going to find out one of these days. The Bible says in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and cried out. And you know the rest of that story. But let me tell you the thing that really disturbs me. Not only was this man in hell wanting to be a soul winner, and he was too late, because he said, send back Lazarus to my father's house, remember? You know that story? Send Lazarus back to my father's house because I have five brothers, and I don't want them to come to this awful place of torment. One member in hell, five other members on the way. That's the most tragic story in the New Testament. I want to ask you this morning, are all the children in? Is mother in? Is daddy in? Is big brother in? Husband in? Wife in? Key number one, be sure that all the family, every member of the family is saved. Key number two, dedicate the first part of each day to prayer. Psychologists will tell you that the first 20 minutes of any day determines the tone of that day. How do you spend the first 20 minutes? Griping about the way the old lady cooked the eggs? Cooked them on the wrong side or whatever? First 20 minutes of the day determines the tone of the day. Jesus Christ himself, according to Mark 1:35, rose up early before the day began, before sunrise, the Bible says, and he prayed. Now I want to ask you a simple heart-to-heart question. If the Son of God, who mastered the seas, who created the world, who put all the stars and all the moon and all the planets in their orbits, if he felt a need early in the morning, first thing, to begin his day in prayer, how much more do you and I feel it necessary for us to set aside a little while, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15, whatever. Begin, dedicate the first part of each day to prayer. The poet said, I met God in the morning when my day was at its best. And his presence came like sunrise, like a glory in my breast. All day long, the presence lingered. All day long, he stayed with me as we sailed in perfect calmness over a very troubled sea. Other ships were blown and battered. Other ships were sore distressed. But the winds that seemed to drive them brought to us a peace and rest. Then I thought of other mornings with a keen remorse of mind, when I too had loosed the moorings with his presence left behind. So I think I know the secret. Learned from many a troubled day, you must seek him in the morning if you want him through the day. Daddy, I implore you, I admonish you, I beg you, for God's sake, for your family's sake, dedicate a while every day for prayer with your family. That's key number two. Key number three, dedicate the first day of each week to God. Isn't it sad how we've commercialized the Lord's Day? Isn't it sad how we've desecrated God's holy day in America? Isn't it sad how people can carelessly, indifferently, without much concern or conscience, just sleep in on Sunday morning? Ah, a little rain, keep, you know, we pray for rain and then let it keep us from coming to Sunday school and church. And that's sad. I guarantee you one thing, the people who said it's raining too hard this morning will be on the job at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning if they face the torrents of rain or ice or snow. You know why? Now let me help you why. I've been in this business a long time. This morning, it hit them right here. Tomorrow morning, it'll hit them right there. And that's the difference. That's the difference. People who can just carelessly, I don't mean sick people who can't get out in a bed. Don't, please don't misunderstand. I'm 29, I haven't been misunderstood yet. Please don't misunderstand me. I know a lot of people cannot get out in weather, but I know a lot of lazy, sorry, indifferent, unconcerned church members that let anything keep them from coming to church. Shame on them to let God's holy day pass with indifference, no compulsion. If they want to stay home and watch television, if they want to go golfing, if they want to go fishing, if they want whatever, just anything to keep them from the house of God, may God have mercy on America. Set aside the first day for God. He's a God of first things. Listen, Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, and all the more as you see the day approaching. You know what that means? Far more important that we be in church today than it was last Sunday, because we're a week nearer the day of the coming of Jesus Christ. Make sure every member of your family is saved. Start every day with God in prayer. Dedicate the first day of the week to God. Key number four, meditate on God's Word every day. Now, you don't have to be a college graduate, a seminary graduate, a scholar, to open the Bible and just say to your family, now we're going to read a few verses this morning out of God's Word. I can tell you this morning that I do not remember a day. I do not remember a day in my growing up life that my daddy did not take the Bible and gather the family around. And there were 9 of us kids, 1 bathroom. Now everybody's got their own bathroom. Everybody gets ready when they want to. But we all had to go to 1 bathroom. Can you imagine 9 kids, mother and daddy, and a few kissing cousins that usually spent the night with us, all going to 1 bathroom, waiting in line, taking a number? And we all had to be at school at the same time. But daddy said, we're going to read a few verses of Scripture. You know why your pastor can do that every morning of his life now? Because I was taught to do it. Train up a child. You remember that story. I read a new one on that the other day. Teach a child to give pennies when he's young, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Whatever you teach them when they're young, that's what they're going to do when they get old. I'm saying to you, you ought to have a day, if it's morning, noon, night, whenever the most of the members, and I realize we're living in a complex world, don't misunderstand me, because you're going 1,000 different ways. But sometime during the day, all the family can, or 90% of them at least, can get together, can't they? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That's why the next verse says he's going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall make sure, key number one, every member of your family is saved. Key number two, make sure that you give God a part of your life in prayer every day. Key number three, dedicate the first day to the Lord. Key number four, meditate on God's word daily. And key number five, put God first in every area of your life. Jesus put it this way in Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What things, Pastor? Well, let me tell you what things. Just before Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, you know what he said? He talked about food. He talked about clothing. He talked about shelter. Three things Jesus talked about. Let me reiterate. Jesus talked about food. Jesus talked about clothing. Jesus talked about shelter. Did you know that covers every need that you and I have? Not a person in this congregation today needs, now listen to me, I didn't say what we want, but we don't need anything but food, clothing, and shelter. And those things that are attendant upon them are secondary. We need food to live. We need clothes to cover up our nakedness. And we need shelter to protect us from the elements. That's all we really need. Everything else that you and I have is a bonus. A car is a bonus. A bicycle is a bonus. A boat is a bonus. We don't have to, when it comes right down to living, we don't have to have those things. Now, I know that our culture demands, I understand all that, but I'm talking about to live. We need food, clothing, and shelter. And Jesus said this, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that is, put God first in every area of your life. And all of these things, what? Food, clothing, and shelter. All three of the basic necessities will be given you. I defy any man on this planet to come to me and tell me that he's put God first in every area of his life and he doesn't have food or clothing and shelter, I'm going to call him a liar or God a liar. And I think you know which. Because God is truth. Let every man be a liar, but let God be true. Five keys. Number one, make sure every member of your family is in the ark. Number two, dedicate the first part of each day to a few moments of prayer. Number three, dedicate the first day of the week to the Lord. Number four, meditate on the Word of God some every day of your life. And number five, just put God first in every area of your life. The storms are coming. Tragedy is coming. Sickness is coming. Disappointments are coming. The winds of distress and sorrow are going to blow on your bark, going to blow on your life. But if you build on the rock, you won't suffer the shock. If you build on the sand, great will be the fall. And remember, doesn't take a violent beating. It just takes a to knock you off that foundation of sand. Storms are coming. Anchor your faith in Jesus Christ. May we stand.